Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL Podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtimes. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWorldOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, good evening, sports fans, and welcome to Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode number 573. I'm your host, Christopher Jones, coming to you from Merritt, British Columbia. Hey, yeah, that's it. We're going to talk some football tonight, about 2 hours of it, 120 minutes. And we've got a couple of guys online with us, Will and Rick, and we'll get to them in a minute. What are we going to rant about today a little bit? There's a lot of people who – there's a lot of things that are going on right now in the CFL community. Yeah, training camps just started, and that's a wonderful thing. We're going to be watching football games on Monday, I believe the first game is, and we're just going to keep going, and we're going to talk football from the rest of the season. Well, we talk football 365 days a year. It really doesn't matter. But, you know, the season starting is really kind of exciting, so there's a lot of things that are happening with training camps. This, people are getting cut. People are signing up. People are doing this and that and everything else. And also, we still have Chad Kelly that's been going on since November. Actually, we've only known about it since February, but it's still going. Now, there's a lot of people who are getting tired of hearing about Chad Kelly. And personally, I'm getting tired of talking about Chad Kelly. But it's the same thing is with Johnny Manziel from way back when, is that things keep happening to him. Yes, it's not all about his sexual harassment and the way that Argos handled things. Now it's about, is he allowed in training camp? The suspensions come down. Should he be allowed in training camp? Should he be near the organization? Is he resigning? Is he been suspended? You know, all these things are happening, and it's almost like things are still changing on an hourly basis, sometimes two and three or four times a day. We get something new about it. So we're still going to talk about him because there's still things that are there to talk about. And a lot of people are getting a little frustrated with it online, and they just keep saying, you know, why are, you know, 10, 15 posts all about Chad Kelly? Well, they're not just about Chad Kelly. They're about everything that is happening and evolving around him, okay? So just bear with us. It's going to happen. It's going to go away. Personally, I just wish they would just kick him out of the league and he'd be fucking gone and we'd stop talking about him completely. But I'd really like to talk about the Argos and their lack of humanity in dealing with all of this and why the league hasn't punished them. We'll talk about this later because it's not in my agenda that Charles built, but we'll get to it anyhow. Charles is not with us tonight because he is doing something with his son's graduation. It's coming up, and they had to go out for a night and whatever it is, and good for them. I mean, hey, we're in May. Graduating's coming up soon, so you got to deal with it. And it's fabulous that he's graduating, and we'll carry on. But what we do have on the show tonight, we do have Will McDonald. Welcome to the show, buddy. How are you doing?
I am just wonderful. I'm so excited that football is almost here. And once the football season starts, we don't have to talk about Chad Kelly because we'll have football games to talk about.
Well, we'll have football games to talk about.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, my favorite story is going to be the day we say, oh, guess what? Chad Kelly's not coming back to the CFL. So
that'll be a wonderful
that'll
day.
Be my
I'd like to, yeah, a favorite day too would be like Winnipeg loses again.
Yeah.
That would be a good day too. Yeah, true that. Okay.
True that.
Speaking of Winnipeg, welcome to the show, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad that there's going to be some football starting because I've had enough Canuck fever already. I'm very done with the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, there's a game right now with the Canucks and the Oilers, and we don't have Charles here to give us updates because I'm certainly not watching it. Edmonton was up 1-0. I have no idea what's going on now.
I am. I'm watching it.
Are you? What's the score?
Yeah, 1-0, Edmonton.
Okay. Yeah, no big deal.
I miss the days when they handed the Stanley Cup out in April instead of fucking July.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember those days. And in fact, I think it was in March. Long time ago.
Long time ago.
I still remember
function of our age.
I still remember having six teams in the league. That's how long I go back.
Yeah.
So, okay. So where are we going to go here? William, you were going to say something before I introduced Rick. What was it? Anything really relevant and important? Or did you forget?
You know what? I forgot. Oh, no, I didn't. The other story I want to talk about is the day that Calgary signs what's his name, that quarterback who used
Nathan
to be in the CFL. Yes, sir. That's the one.
Nathan Rourke. Yeah. Actually, so. I found a new podcast, and it's Milt Stegall and Davis Sanchez. Have you watched this one at all?
No. Where's that at?
I don't know. I found it online today, and they were discussing, and they had a guest, Farhan Lauji was on, and they were discussing, or they asked Farhan, what does the BC Lions do if Nathan Rourke comes mid-season this year? Vernon Adams is up 8-1 in the season, and Nathan Rourke wants to come back to the CFL. What do the BC Lions do?
Well,
and that was it was a really interesting question. They never answered it.
Number one, BC's never going to be 8-1, so we don't have to worry about that.
I think they were 8-1 last year. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't think so, but whatever. I don't know. I can't remember. Let's look at the stats. Oh, wait a minute. We can't look at the stats. Okay.
We can't look at the stats, no, because there aren't any.
Yeah. So, I will have to look at that podcast because I like David Sanchez. And I like Milt Stegall, so.
Well, Milt Stegall is a bit of an ass. So, you know, and I like Davis Sanchez because he was, like, bitching at Milt about Milt was just going on and on and on and on and on. And Sanchez was up at the top with his hand mimicking somebody talking, like, blah, 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 blah. It was kind of funny because I do like Davis Sanchez. I mean, it was – The waggle was good when it was Davis Sanchez and James Zybulski.
Yes, sir.
And when they left it, it just went downhill really fast.
Yeah.
Just for information, guys, it's called Wide Open with Stegall and Sanchez on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay. And just to update you, Vancouver tied the game, and then Edmonton scored again, so it's now 2-1.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not heartbroken by it. I'm kind of a little pissy about Boston losing to Florida. So they're not out yet, obviously. The game's tomorrow.
Well, they're not.
It's 3-2 in the series, so Boston can come back for two more games, but... I mean, they were just manhandled 6-1 and 6-2 to start off the series. It sucked. Anyhow, okay. So let's talk some football now. Training camp opened on Sunday, and we're now Thursday, so we're 4 or 5 days into training camp. What's happened that's interesting? Winnipeg put three guys on the 6-game list, including Adam Bighill. I guess a 35-year-old linebacker, or 33-year-old linebacker, I don't know, he's got to be old, gets a little fragile. Now, are we going to come up and bring up the discussion again about these athletes and how much they train, that they are more prone to accidents because their body doesn't get the recovery time, doesn't get the flexibility, doesn't get whatever. All they do is pound weights. You're a coach there,
what
Rick.
You,
what's your thoughts
what
on this?
What do you think of that?
Well, hopefully they're doing more than just pounding weights. I mean, there's training and then there's training. You go through cycles, and if you do it the right way, you come back to training camp healthier than when you left at the end of the season.
Yeah, but
last year, the year before, where we had a plethora of Achilles injuries?
Yeah, but they particularly one team, they blamed that all on one trainer.
Yes, they did.
But what I've been
I got that whole story from Nelson Lacumbo.
What I've been talking about for years is I tend to wonder if it's healthy that these guys are in shape all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And train
100%.
And train all the time. Because remember in the old days where guys used to get fat in the off season and they go to training camp to get healthy? I tend to wonder if that's part of the problem.
If they show up for camp, they're overweight, they're smoking, they're drinking, they're doing all sorts of stuff, and then all of a sudden they got to go cold turkey on all of this and get in shape to play football.
Right. So, because you know what they say, anything in excess is not good.
Yeah, but that's what I tried to mention. Well, there's training and there's hard training. If you cycle it right, of course you can train year-round and be healthy and fit. I mean, to suggest that it's bad for you to be too healthy and too fit is nonsense.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody needs a break.
But you can train and have a break at the same time. It depends on what you're doing for training.
I guess.
Go to school, learn a few things, Junior.
Okay, are we going to go down that fucking road? Is that what we're going to do here? Because if you want me to play, if you want me to fucking play, I can fucking play.
Play what?
Play what?
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
No, I don't either.
Totally confused.
Yeah.
We
just lost Will. Hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he got mad and hung up. No, that's not possible.
No, Will.
That's
Will
happened before on the show. No. He probably got flustered and hit his hang up button by mistake because he's got such big fingers. But we'll see what happens here.
Willie never hangs up on me. Quite the opposite.
Yeah. Willie, you okay? William? Well, I don't know. He's not there right now. I've got him online, but he's not there, so I don't know what's going on.
Maybe his headset went out again.
Possibly. But he's.
Oh.
I hear something in the background, but I think that's your TV.
No, not my TV.
Okay,
I'm in the bedroom, no TV on. Anyway. Yeah,
Doesn't matter. So training camp starts right across the board. Okay, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
So we're. Sorry, what was that? It would be nice if Will answered me. I text him, and he's not answering that, and he's not talking on the phone. So I don't have his mic muted. I don't even know if I've got him back online properly. Okay. Because I could just hang up and call again.
Yeah, you could try that.
I did. Place in screening room. Actually, we shouldn't even do that. Let's not do that. Call completed. William, are you there? Is that an African barking spider? I don't know. I can't hear him. Okay. He's got to figure his shit out.
Yeah, he'll figure it out.
Okay. So, you got anything interesting and new news about the training camps here, there, and everywhere?
You know, honestly, I've done some reading, seen some things. I don't know what all of them might mean. I mean, it's early. Everybody's playing their games. Those injured guys might not even be injured. They might just be clearing the roster to work some other players out and get them into exhibition games. I don't know how all that number shit works.
Yeah. Will just hung up again.
He must be having technical difficulties.
Yeah.
I used to like to go to training camp when the Lions held it here in Abbotsford.
Yeah, it was cool. I thought it was in Abbotsford. I was really disappointed that they went back to Kamloops.
Yeah.
But it was one season that they were in Abbotsford, and it just fucking rained every single day. And Wally said, enough of this. I'm going to Kamloops where it doesn't rain. And I can't blame him.
No. I mean, moving it around can help their fan base.
No, and that's true. I mean, they did have it 1 year over in the island, I think, but that was like a couple of decades ago.
Yep.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well, there you go. Headphones. So, did you ever meet Bobby Eccles?
Who?
Bob Eccles.
Oh, Bob Eccles, yeah.
Waterboy.
Yeah, Bobby. Yes, very well. Yeah.
Superman.
Super nice man. Superman. I mean, he literally saved the BC Lions. It was him.
Yep. I met him once at a amateur football thing. The first time I met him, I hadn't seen him for a couple of years after that, and I showed up at a BC Lion training camp, and he noticed me standing there and came over, and he said, "Hey, Rick," he says, "somebody has done as much as you have for amateur football. You don't stand beside the rope. You come stand with me and Wally and watch this practice." So, and he only met me once, and he remembered who I was. That's a class guy.
Yeah, 100% it is. Will, are you back online now?
He said to call him again.
I did call him. He's back online.
Okay.
I've got his number from 403, but he's not talking.
Good.
So we'll just keep going. Yeah, no, I knew Bobby Eccles. I met him, but he wouldn't know me to talk to him the way that you did. I did have a private 45-minute conversation one day with David Bailey, which was very, very interesting to me. And I've talked with Wally quite a few times. I still don't have William. I don't understand what's going on there. He's going to have to figure it out. Okay. So anyhow.
Yeah. Can you hear me yet? Hello?
There. We've got William back.
We got you, little Willie.
Okay. I'm here.
I'm glad you're back.
What were you talking about?
Well, we were talking about not talking about too much of anything other than waiting for you to get your shit together.
Okay.
So we were just talking about training camps and training camps that we had both attended and stuff like that and yada, 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 and carry on. The one thing out of training camps that I've noticed or I heard today was that their Saskatchewan is really impressed with their number three QB and will probably be number two. Mason Fine will drop down the depth chart by the sounds of it. I don't remember the guy's name, Shea Patterson or something like that. I don't know what it is. But that's kind of it. And, whoa, that little munchkin run around.
That's not fair.
Yeah, not fair. It's time for him to go to bed. Not fair. Okay, so anyhow, Sean Lemon, he appeals his gambling suspension, comes out of retirement, and goes to training camp with the Montreal Alouettes. Yeah. I'm still slightly confused on the whole scenario and how it played out, because we really didn't get a lot of information on it. All of a sudden, he retired for the first time that he has been signed for training camp in like 3 or 4 seasons. And then he just retires out of the blue. Will found this to be very unusual. And then all of a sudden we find out that he's being investigated for gambling and that he has been issued an indefinite suspension. Well, now the retirement makes sense. Obviously, he tried to retire to get away from the investigation or to, you know, something to do with it. He knew he was being investigated, so he thought he would just retire. Maybe it would go away. But then the league went out with an indefinite suspension, which seemed a little harsh. And didn't make sense to be doing that to a retired person. And then now he's gone with the CFLPA and he's appealing the decision. And which, of course, right away means that he could play again. So he's dropped the retirement concept and he's back in training camp. Will he actually play a game? We don't know. William, he's your buddy. You like him. What's your thoughts on this?
I don't know. Well, once again, and nobody's going to agree with me, I don't think he should be suspended for gambling on games, especially football games. And obviously what happened is he knew it was coming. That's why he retired. And now he's decided that he wants to play. And fuck it, he's going to appeal. Because, I mean, come on. He makes linebacker CFL money. How much money could he have gambled, for Christ's sake?
Yeah,
exactly. Really.
But, well, we don't know what his indefinite suspension actually means, because does that prevent him from going in the Hall of Fame? Does that affect his pension, or is there one? You know, all of these things.
Is there a CFL pension?
I think there might be, but it's not very big.
Nobody ever talks about it, so it can't be that big.
No. Anyhow, it's just one of those things. What does it affect him if he retired and now he's suspended? Now, does he have to come back and be – could he appeal this from retirement? Or can he – did he have to come back to the Montreal Alouettes so that he could file the appeal?
Probably.
You know, can he appeal it from retirement? I don't know.
Yep. But if he's retired, who cares if he suspends it?
Well, because it might affect him being brought into the hall, or it might affect his pension, or it might affect, you know, alumni status, or it might affect a lot of different things. And so does he have to be an active player in which to appeal a suspension?
I don't know.
And an indefinite suspension is a little weird. I mean, why didn't they just ban him outright? You know, there's a difference, you know?
Yeah.
They did that to Jerome Messam, and they did that to Johnny Manziel. They just said, no, we're canceling your contract, and you are we won't honor a contract signed by any other team. So you're banned. Right? But they didn't do that to him. They gave him an indefinite suspension. Do you know anything on this subject, Rick?
No, but it like you say, indefinite seems kind of weird. It's like they want to do something, but they don't know what they're supposed to do, or they don't know if they can do something, or are there rules in place that actually cover this, or what's the what?
Well, and that's the whole thing. The CFL gambling policy wasn't implemented until after he placed the bet. We all know that you're not supposed to do it, but from what I understand, the CFL really didn't have a policy in play preventing him from being from gambling. And they did put in a policy when they started, you know, getting partnerships with all these gaming companies. And But that his bet was from 2 years ago or 3 years ago when that hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, 2021.
So, I mean, they're closing the barn door after the cow's gone.
Yeah. I guess we'll see how the appeal runs.
I don't see an issue with him gambling on games, especially not his own games. But if he's going to bet on his own games, you have to bet to win. And it can't be affected by over, under, or points, because you're not going to shave points off of a game. So if you're going to say absolutely no to gambling, and I'm perfectly okay with that, then you can't make it retroactive to when you didn't have that rule in place and people had already done it.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that makes sense.
I remember my mother a long time ago, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, but she just looked at me one day and she says, "I wish we could have retroactive abortions." And I just went, "Mom, you can't do things like that. You can't make things retroactive after they've happened. It doesn't, you can't go back and play that game again."
Unless you have raises.
Yeah, and my mother and I were having a political discussion, so it was about
there
politics.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough subject to play with, and look. Michael Shea comes out public and just says, there's no place for this. This is disgusting. It's like he should be banned. And you know, it's just like, serious, Mike, calm the fuck down.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, he did.
Wow. I didn't see that.
Well, so he's got some strong feelings about it. It's his prerogative.
100% it is, right? Everybody does. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, okay, let's deal with this case right now. And I understand that they're trying to set a precedence moving forward, that this is totally and completely unacceptable. But you can't set that precedence and blackball a gentleman that did it before your rule came in place. Like, okay, say, okay, Sean, this was bad. You got to pay a fine. It's not going to be disclosed, so it's only going to be $25. But, you know, you have to say what I did was wrong and that I will never do it again. And I nobody else should be doing this. And okay. And come public with it and make this a public statement of it. But to ban the guy or suspend him indefinitely is like a little fucking weird.
Yeah.
Personally, I mean, I think it's an extremely severe punishment for something that really didn't affect anybody. There was absolutely no victim in it. He didn't affect the outcome of a game. He didn't bet on the outcome of a game, other than the fact that he wants to win, and every player wants to win, so that's not a secret. So, has he done anything else? Is there other bets that we don't know about? Who knows? But that's not what the suspension is about. And then you got Chad Kelly, who has a victim and somebody who has been victimized, but, you know, she's lost her job over it. She's lost all sorts of stuff, lost friends, lost all sorts of things. And, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you need to go to counseling. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's parity in here. And I don't want to compare the two of them because they're totally different situations. But I don't think the league acted appropriately on either one. And that just comes back to meathead Randy Ambrosi. One day, Randy and Ambrosie and myself are going to see each other somewhere. And he's a big boy. It might not get pretty. He might just slap CJ around. I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably quicker than him.
Probably. He's not Wade Miller size, but he's getting up there.
Just wear your goalie pants, Christopher.
Yeah.
He's a big, ugly man.
I don't know. I put out a tweet today, and it was basically, and I should go look to see if there was a response, because I sent it out to all the media. I just wanted to know when the league was going to do something to the Argos, or when we're going to hear what the punishment to the Argos is for failure to report this gender-based violence incident that they are required to do to the league and didn't happen. Where's the punishment to the Toronto Argonauts? Why are they not being held accountable for this entire scenario? And I wanted to see if I got a response to it. And one of the things in the tweet that I put out there was that the gender-based violence regulations that Jeffrey Orridge put in place. Remember when we had a good commissioner? I want to see if I get any feedback on that one as well. Anyhow, do miss the days of that man in this. And he was only in the league for a year, and he made such an impactful tenure here. Okay. Sean Lemon is out of here. He is appealing his gambling suspension. He is back on the Montreal Alouettes active roster. He is in training camp. We will see him in exhibition games coming up. We'll see when his appeal hearing is, and whether or not the league's going to make that happen before the beginning of the season so that he does not actually get to play in a. So we'll see when that appeal happens. Okay, next up, Trevor Harris is thrilled to be back with the Riders after recovering from a potential career-ending injury. This is a Three Down Nation article. It's a little bit sensationalized. And, you know, the things that everybody's saying is Saskatchewan should do really well today, this year, if Trevor Harris can stay healthy. And my response to them always is, when has he stayed healthy? Because he's only completed one season out of, what, 11 or 12, something like that. So he's not stayed healthy throughout his career. Why do we think that a 37, 38-year-old man is going to stay healthy? Especially with the Saskatchewan O-line, which they upgraded with Yoshi, Marcus Hargrave. But, you know, if he was that great of a lineman, I don't think Winnipeg would have let him go. So he was in BC. He was good, but he wasn't impressive. Of course, it's with all the linemen are only as good as the guys beside them. I don't care what anybody says. If you've got an all-star lineman, then you've got three or four of them. It's really hard to be a standout when you're by yourself. It doesn't work on the O-line. Now, you can tell me I'm wrong. Will, you're a lineman?
No, they're a unit. They're a unit, yes. They all play together, no doubt about it.
They're as strong as their weak link, so they always have to keep helping everybody up, right? You can't all be as good as the best guy. You're going to be as good as the weakest guy. So, right. You know, I like Yoshi. He's a nice guy and all, but he's not going to make Saskatchewan amazing because he's only one guy and he's getting old. And I was going to say, you know, Winnipeg had one O-lineman retire and then Harvick is gone. And I'm going, well, they must be getting younger. And then I remembered you still have Stanley Bryant on there.
Stanley's good for another couple. He's good for another couple of years, at least.
He's got to be getting close to 100, isn't he?
No, I don't think he's that old.
I think he is. I think he's the oldest guy in the CFL right now.
I mean, Adam Big Hill is 35, okay? So,
yeah.
I think he's 38.
Stanley Bryant is 38 years old.
38.
May 7th.
Yep.
So he just turned 38.
Yeah, that's not old. Fuck.
Well, not to us.
Yeah. Fair point.
We're old fuckers. I mean, at 38 years old, he could have a kid on the team.
Well, yeah, sure, I guess.
Numerically possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a push, but yeah.
Oh, no, Will, don't say that. I'm not going to say that. Okay, keep on moving. Sorry.
I know exactly what you were thinking.
I know you are. But we can't say that on this show. Yeah, well, but you know what? I'm sure Winnipeg has replaced Hardrick with somebody.
Of course they have.
And I know they replaced, what's his name last year? Remember? Their center. He went to BC. They replaced their center. Center is a pretty important spot on the offensive line, and they didn't miss a beat.
No, of course they didn't.
They still got to the Grey Cup, and they lost. So,
you know, and now they've lost Jackson Jeffcoat, and Adam Big Hill is down. And, I mean, these are some key components of defense, too, right?
I personally think Adam Big Hill should have retired at the end of last season.
I agree with you.
I don't think he's got it anymore, or he's behind a bit. Just saying.
I don't think he's as quick as he used to be. I don't think he's lost any strength.
No.
And the Winnipeg defense gains a lot by his intellect. He's
sure.
A very, very smart football player. He knows the game.
Sure.
So as the quarterback of the defense of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, he holds a pretty important position there. So even though he's getting older and a little bit slower, doesn't mean they're not benefiting from him being on the field.
Okay.
They just have to have other people in there doing a little bit more. I don't know. It's still, he's in his twilight. This is either his last year or I don't know what's going on. He might not even play this year now. Who knows? Rick, have you heard what his injury is?
Have not.
Yeah, I didn't see anything on what the actual injury was. Usually they at least say upper body or lower body or something, but I didn't see anything on him. Oh, well. Okay. I lost my place here.
Trevor Harris.
Trevor Harris. Saskatchewan Roughriders. My opinion on Saskatchewan has never changed, really. But this year, I don't see the hype of this team. It's not making sense to me.
Sorry, hold on. They moved him to the sixth game.
Who?
Oh, Adam Big Hill.
Yeah, that's what I said when I introduced the story.
I didn't know that, but that means it's a serious injury.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the whole thing about the sixth game, and I don't know this or not, that doesn't start until the season, does it?
That's correct.
Like training, preseason games don't count towards it.
No.
So he's lost the first third of the, yes, he can be pulled off the sixth game early. My question would be, why would you put him on it until the beginning of the season, unless it was a serious injury?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's no monetary or economic benefit to putting on a sixth game before that, because game checks don't start till season one. I mean, they all get their training camp allotment and everything else, but he would have got that already. So there's no economic savings to the salary cap by putting him on the sixth game when he hasn't played a preseason game yet, and you still got 2-3 weeks before the beginning of the season, unless there's just absolutely no hope that he's coming back for 6, 8, 10 weeks, if not the whole fucking year. Because we don't know how long he's going to be on the sixth game.
No. But the article I just read said they have at least two guys that have been hanging around forever that can replace him. So.
So be it. I don't think he's going to be easily replaced in that aspect. I'm sure that there's middle linebackers that can fill, go into the job. I just, Adam Big Hill is just a beast. He always has been. He's not human. But going back to Trevor Harris, how do we see, I don't know, they got a new running back, they got a new right tackle,
new head coach,
rookie coach, rookie OC. I don't see them making the playoffs. I don't see them doing anything wonderful. Although, when Trevor Harris was healthy last year, they actually played good football. When he got injured, they played shit football for a long, long time. In fact, I don't think they won a game in the last 8 of the season. I think they went on this huge losing streak.
Most teams will when they don't have a quarterback. So,
well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's not much to say about Trevor Harris. Rick, do you have anything else to say, add to this? Or?
Well, you know, when you look at his stats, when he plays a full season, no matter what team he's on, he's a good quarterback. Puts up good numbers.
Exactly. But look how many seasons he's completed.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He hasn't completed 5 seasons.
5 out of 13 he had long seasons. But, yeah, there were 4 games, 6 games, 5 games.
How many seasons did he start 18 games?
None.
One.
18, two.
Was it 2? Okay.
2018 in Ottawa and 2022 in Montreal.
Okay.
5,000 yards 1 year, 4,000 the other.
So two seasons out of 13.
That he played 18, yep.
Yeah.
But he had 2 15-game seasons in there.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I'm not saying that, but he still had some serious injuries in there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
No doubt. Like I say, if he stays healthy and plays a whole season, he'll help the team for sure.
Agreed.
Yeah, he will. I'd take him for quarterback right now. Just saying.
I bet you would. Unfortunately, you don't know whether he's going to stay healthy, though.
Well, you don't know if anybody's going to stay healthy.
Especially in Saskatchewan, who they are not known to have an O-line. And I don't think they've had a decent O-line since 2013. So we'll see what happens to Saskatchewan. They're either going to be in third place or they're going to be in fourth.
They can't suck worse than last year.
Saskatchewan? Oh, yes, you can.
Oh, yeah, they can. Yeah, I mean, all they have to do is Trevor Harris gets taken out on game one, and then what are they going to do? You know, they're going to this Shea Patterson kid, or whatever his name is, and playing him, and he's never started a football game before. Baptism by fire is never a good thing. We'll see what happens. So, Bo Levi Mitchell shows up to training camp, rookie camp, in a walking boot, okay? And it's the opposite foot from his injury of last year. So he's just falling apart all over the place. Shoulder's gone, both feet are gone, this and that, da, 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 da. But he says he'll be ready to start in week one. Scott Milanovich is running the Hamilton Tiger Cats now. He's not the GM, but he's definitely the head coach. He's also the offensive coordinator. I disagree with that. We know why. But I have always held him in very high regard as an intelligent football person. He did amazing things in Toronto. He's a good coach. When is he going to throw the towel in on this Bo Levi Mitchell experiment? He's smarter than this. He knows that this guy can't play football, yet he's touting him as the second coming. Does it make sense to you, William?
Of course it doesn't. It makes none of this shit makes sense to me. When they say a guy is good and he's horrible, all right? And Bo Levi Mitchell is a perfect example. He's horrible. He cannot throw the ball anymore. He cannot not get hurt anymore. He's horrible. And they're still going to pay him more money than I've ever made in a single year. Okay, like fuck.
Well, his salary isn't that high. I think we looked at that last year, didn't we? Last week. He's not one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. He's still getting paid more than he should.
Sorry, and then what doesn't make any sense to me is that they re-signed what's-his-face, but only to a year. The guy who we think will be the starter in Hamilton.
Taylor Powell.
They only signed him for a year.
I know. I saw that. Bo shows up in a walking boot. Like 2 days later, they signed an extension for Taylor Powell, but it's only for 1 year. So they really didn't do anything. They just they gave him more money. I don't know why else
right.
he would do it. They just said, oh, yeah, okay, well, we better pay you more money because we need you here. This guy's old and broken.
But we are only going to sign you for a year because we think Bo can come back for 3 or 4.
Well, I think, maybe it was because he didn't want to sign for any longer. Maybe he
thought that. That's just what I was
going
to say.
Maybe he thought that, okay, Bo's going down. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to go win a Grey Cup, and then I want to be a free agent because I want to go to the trough.
Maybe.
You know, if you sign him to a multi-year deal at $300,000 and he could get $450 somewhere else, he'd be pissed about that, wouldn't he?
Very much so.
Yeah, I understand the reasoning of doing this. But I just don't understand this experiment with Bo Levi Mitchell. I didn't understand it when they signed him 2 years ago, and it's only got crazier. He played 5 games last year, played the first 3 and then came back for 2 more. I mean, it was god awful in the games that he played. Terrible that it is. Okay, Rick, this one's for you. We're going to talk about the TSN panelist and ex-GM Jim Barker, who believes the CFL staffers should be fined for criticizing Argo's handling of Chad Kelly. Now, there was 2 women that came public. One of them was a social media expert with the league, or was it an HR person with the league and the social media person with Winnipeg? And he's saying that these women should not speak publicly about how disappointed they are in the way that the league is handling or the Toronto Argonauts are handling a sexual harassment case against a woman.
And
what
you
are
like
your thoughts?
Know what I think about that.
I do. I want to know what your thoughts are. There is a policy in place.
I think the fucking moron should go work on Trump's campaign. Because that's where
Ooh,
guys
Barker?
Like him belong. Yes. That was a dumb thing for him to say.
He's not wrong. It's just inappropriate.
He's very wrong.
No?
He's very wrong.
Well, okay, if Adam Big Hill said that he did not like the way that the referee dealt with that last game, he would have been fine.
Do not compare referees to people.
If he criticized Randy Ambrosi for giving Sean Lemon an indefinite suspension, he would have been fine.
Should not be.
Should not be, but he would be. Okay.
Do not compare those things. Do not compare those things with women being harassed. It's not the same ballpark. Different rules, different morals, not the same thing. You'll never convince me of otherwise. He should have kept his mouth shut.
Well, 100%, I believe he should have kept his mouth shut. I'm not disputing that. But if the league followed their protocols, those women would have been fine. They would have looked like complete assholes for doing it.
Because it's not the same thing.
You're not
when
supposed
you speak
to criticize the league publicly. I'm not defending Jim Barker here. Please do not believe that I'm doing that.
No.
Okay?
But,
I'm just taking the opposite side of your argument.
Yeah, but I disagree with your reasoning. Not supposed to criticize is one thing. There are certain things that you must criticize them for. And women are the ones that must be doing it. As a matter of fact, some men should have done the exact same thing.
Shit. The entire staff of the Toronto Argonauts should have walked out. Huh? The only thing for evil to triumph in this world is good men to do nothing. It's an old quote that was inaccurately credited to Edmund Burke, but it's very true, 100%. Chad Kelly would have got away with what he did if somebody didn't speak up.
Yep.
Right? I mean, we have to speak up when something is bad. We have to say what's wrong. I mean, I'm in a unique position where I have a soapbox and I can rant all day long on what I believe is wrong in this society, or at least in football. And there's no consequences to me because nobody can hold me accountable. But when you sign a contract to do certain things, the unique thing or the difference or the argument here would be is that these are not football operations people. Does that make a difference? Saying that we need to stand up to gender-based violence, gender-based problems regardless, which I agree 100%. But the people who spoke out were not players, coaches, management. They were people in the mail room. They were people doing something else. These were just people. They just happened to be associated with a football team.
Yeah, the employees of the league or a team, yeah.
Right, so do they fit into the same thing as that you're not allowed to criticize? Do they have the same contract? I don't know. I don't know that.
Well, there, it surely it's not a blanket you're not allowed to criticize. There should be some caveats there on what you are allowed to criticize or not.
I really want to know what happened in the league head office when there were some grumblings that the league was not doing their job or doing enough to deal with the scenario, and a very dismissive, I believe the term was, dismissive memo came around telling them to shut up and mind their own business, and two female employees at the league head office resigned. We haven't heard anything more about that. I would love to have seen them come public and say what they need to say. Did they have a non-disclosure in there that they are not allowed to talk to the media about what happened? A lot of companies force you to sign that when you sign on, when you take the job on, that you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say resigning their positions say everything that they need to say?
100%. But
nothing more to say.
That was like less than 10 seconds worth of fame, and then it's gone, and nobody's brought it up since.
Nope.
So it didn't have the impact that it should have. You know, if they resigned and then came public and said, we're resigning because of the sexist attitudes that's going on in the league office right now, and yada, 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 there would have been hell to pay. And something may actually have happened. William, you okay over there?
Really fall out of his chair?
No, yeah. I think he's sleepy. Willie, wake up. He does that every once in a while. He's an old man. He just falls asleep.
I'm not asleep. I was watching the hockey game. Shut up. You guys were boring me with this discussion, okay? Sorry.
I thought I heard you snoring.
You might have heard me snore. I do that relatively easily, too.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your thoughts on Jim Barker?
He's an idiot.
Should he have...
No, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. Why would you come out... No, why would you come out and say something like that? Was he drunk? Did he drink too much that night? I don't even know why I don't even know why he's on TSN.
I don't know why he's on TSN either.
But every time he gets in trouble,
he's talking to Rod Peterson.
But I know he's probably got a pretty big knowledge of football, okay? Because he's been around for a long time. But he doesn't even fit on that desk on CFL broadcast. It's never been a good fit. And I think it's because he's a blowhard and he likes to hear himself talk.
Yeah.
Because why would he suggest someone should be fined for criticizing this. Like, what a fucking moron. Sorry. I've never liked Jim Barker.
No. No.
Is all I'm going to say. I've never liked Jim Barker.
I mean, you said that he's very, you believe that he's knowledgeable and everything else, and you would think that he would have to be, but he certainly does not know how to articulate that, because when he opens his mouth, shit falls out of it.
Well, and he's had some major coaching positions in his career and major management positions in his career. And I don't know if you can go by because he gets fired all the time, but every coach gets fired all the time, more or less, at one point in their career. So maybe they can't do that. But I don't think, I don't know. But to say something, but one of the things you will notice about him is that he is also an old school guy, and he has probably harassed women in his lifetime. You never know.
Well,
that old man sexist thing. Okay, sorry.
He fired a woman from the Toronto Argonauts when he was head coach there. And she was a fitness trainer or a physiotherapist, I believe it was. And he fired her, and she filed a wrongful dismissal suit, and she sued the Argos. And the reason why he fired her is he said he didn't want a female working as a physiotherapist because she would mother the players.
And that's kind of sexist in itself.
I don't understand how he didn't get fired.
I don't know.
Wouldn't you just wash your hands of a situation like that?
Yeah, but hey. Unless you agreed with him. Yeah, correct.
Have you ever, you both have been injured in your lives, okay? I know Willie has. He fell off his bicycle. Have you ever had a work with a physiotherapist?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you ever worked with a female physiotherapist?
Yes.
Yes.
They're mean.
They're all mean.
They are mean. They are way mean. I don't understand how this guy thinks that these women would be mothering the players, because they're sadists.
You know what they used to call physiotherapists way back in the olden days?
No.
Inquisitors.
Inquisitors. Yeah. No. They're mean. I don't understand how he could think that this a woman would be mothering these guys. No.
Yeah, not in their nature.
No, it's not in their nature. But that article is up on Let's Talk CFL Facebook page, because I posted it, and it was a picture of a four Toronto Argonauts standing beside each other, if you want to go back and find the article. I'm kind of scrolling right now, seeing if I can find it. No, it's not. Yeah. It's way down there. Oh, here it is. Athletic therapist claims she was fired by Toronto Argonauts because she's a woman. Lawsuit accused then-coach Jim Barker of saying he wouldn't be comfortable working with a female head therapist because she would mother the players.
Now, guess what?
And that was from,
I think he's even,
from
I
2012.
I think he's even more of a moron now, okay? Sorry. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to our agenda and move on from Jim Barker because we have to. We simply have to. Okay, so this is the only thing on Chad Kelly in the agenda. We've talked about him a couple of times. But so the Toronto Argonauts put out a press release saying that they were moving Chad Kelly to the suspended list. 2 hours later, they retracted that, said he's not on the suspension list. He is just missing, which God knows we all wished he was. But so we're going to deal with this one a little bit because I'm a little unsure about the circumstances. When we're in training camp right now, we've had a cut down day, you're only allowed 75 people on your roster. If they put Chad Kelly on the suspended list, they free up a roster position for him because of him. And they can put somebody else in and they'd have 75 people. By not suspending him, they can't do that. He is still part of the 75-man roster. Is that not correct?
Yes.
So why would you do that? The only thing that I can think of doing, the reasoning behind it, is if they suspended him, they're admitting that he did something wrong, and it would look bad for the civil lawsuit. So they're defending him by losing a man on their roster. Does that make sense? Can you come up with another reason?
Not really. I was confused by the whole article, to be honest with you.
Well, there was like two or three of them just came out, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
Nobody understands it.
Is he suspended? Is he not around, or is he just gone away?
He's not suspended. So he's still under contract. He's not suspended. His salary goes towards the salary cap. Okay?
Right.
Now, in this latest article, it says that Chad Kelly has removed himself from training camp because he's such an honorable gentleman. Okay? So he's not going to be there because he doesn't want to be a distraction to the players, to the training camp, to the Argonauts moving forward without him.
But he's still
on the roster.
But I tend to wonder, just from the person we've come to know and love, okay, does he even really give a shit about his teammates? I would think not.
So what happened here? The Argonauts told him to get the fuck away. We're not going to put you on the suspended list because we want to save our civil lawsuit. But we don't want you anywhere near here. You come public and say that you're stepping back.
Well, I've got a wonderful idea of how they can fix this.
Yeah, release them.
The lady who has the lawsuit against the team. Why don't they just give her the balance of Chad Kelly's contract and call it even. And fuck it.
Oh, she's not even asking for anywhere near that.
I know that. That's why I'm saying they should do that. Kill two birds with one
stone. I think they should just write her a check and pay her what she's asking for and get it over with.
And I don't know why they haven't done that yet.
Makes no sense.
No, it does not.
Do you know who we're talking about here, Rick?
Do I know who you're talking about? Chad Kelly?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No. The girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've talked about it enough. I shouldn't.
Okay. I just didn't know if you knew who she was particularly.
I know what I've read in the articles. That's it.
Okay. Look in our chat. Okay, go back to the thing. So anyhow, Chad Kelly is nowhere near the Toronto Argonauts. This is basically a victory for mankind. Why has the league not been fined? Why has not John Murphy been held accountable for his words of, that's a can of worms you didn't need to open? Why have the Argonauts not been held accountable for not filing the required paperwork when a gender-based complaint is brought in? They have ignored the protocol of the CFL completely. Why have we not heard any form of discipline coming from the league? Do you find that strange? Or is that just par for the course for Randy Ambrosi's league office?
I don't think it's strange when Randy Ambrosi is running your company. And once again, I hate to blame everything on Randy Ambrosi. Hey.
The shoe fit dancing.
Well, no. It looks like that. You know what I mean? If it's not like that, great. Somebody come out and say something. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I have no idea. It makes no sense. Why are the Argos getting a pass on this?
Don't know.
Now, there has been, I can't count anymore, but I think there's been about 10 or 12 violations of the salary cap. Give or take, somewhere in there. Might be a couple more. I know it's not less. Toronto Argonauts are the only team that was not fined. Montreal actually lost a draft pick. But when the Toronto Argonauts were over the salary cap, Randy Ambrosi did not find them.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
You didn't know that? I thought we talked about that.
No. Well, I can't remember, but I'll take your word for it.
Let's see what happens here. The it was 2022, and Montreal was over by 700 and $94. Ottawa was over by 11,000. Toronto was over by 49,000. And Winnipeg was over by 64,000.
Okay.
All the teams paid the fines except Toronto.
Well, interesting.
And they were the biggest violators.
Right.
Perhaps somebody in Toronto has photographs of the
of somebody fucking a goat.
The league commissioner with small farm animals. That's where I was going. Yeah, I know.
You two are related, aren't you?
He taught me all the worst. He taught me all the worst shit, Christopher. The good shit I taught myself, so. That's all I'm saying. Anyways. Something else we could move on to? Who's making all the noise in the background?
Not me. I'm not making any noise.
Oh, okay. Not me.
Richard, what are you doing? Oh, okay.
I'm just sitting in my recliner.
Is the hockey game over?
Nope.
No. Third period. Coming up.
Tied 2-2.
Oh, is it tied?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. Interesting. Okay, let's get back to the agenda here. The next thing on the agenda here after this, Chad Kelly moving himself from training camp, which is kind of cool and interesting that he did that. I want to know why. I want to know why they put him on the suspension list and then removed him, because there's no answer. There's no logical reason for any of that. But the next thing on was the quarterback, Taylor Powell, to sign a one-year contract extension through 2025. So this wasn't a one-year contract. This was a one-year contract extension. So he was in for the 2024 season, and now he has been extended to the end of 2025, which kind of makes sense. And I don't think it actually says anything about the money that he's going to get. Not at all.
Nope.
It just says that they've extended was scheduled to be a free agent after this year. They've extended for another year. The only reason that has to be is because Bo Levi Mitchell, they don't know whether or not he's going to survive. I mean, didn't he fall out of his wheelchair and hurt himself or something? I don't know. So we really don't have much to talk about that. This one confuses me a lot. Veteran Ticats defensive tackle Ted Laurent officially retires from the CFL. Why did they wait till they're
right
into training camp before they retire? Is it because they're just not very good and they're not going to make the team? The team's moved on and they don't know what to do, so they just retire?
Well,
or
no, or
do you think that they...
Maybe it's because in the off season nobody talks about the CFL, and he didn't want to announce his retirement because nobody would give a fuck. Not that they're going to give a fuck anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either that or you wait.
What the hell?
What just happened, Rick? Well, there he is.
Well, no, I was hearing a lot of background noise there. Anyway,
me too.
I guess possibly you're not guaranteed not going to get an invite to training camp until training camp starts. And then your dream's over. Nobody wants me. It's a for sure now. Nobody wants to take a look. So I guess I'll retire.
Okay. So it's kind of like,
this is reactive as opposed to proactive. Because, I mean, that free agency or whatever else, he would have known if nobody was going to sign him at free agency. I mean, did he have a contract for this season?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God. He's talking about Coach Austin. Probably the worst head coach in the history of the CFL.
Well, you just didn't like him.
I didn't like he didn't know what the hell he was doing. He was probably a worse manager than a coach, but that's beside the point.
He still got the two Grey Cups. Come on.
And got annihilated in both of them. He went out and bought free agency and then couldn't keep the team together.
Yeah, well.
And couldn't build an O-line to save his life or Zach Calero. Destroyed Zach Calero's career.
Everybody has a different management style. Come on. He's still got the jobs. Right?
Yeah, and now he's coaching high school or something.
Right.
Talk about a fall from
grace.
I could
turn around and say to you, I believe Chris Jones is the worst fucking head coach and general manager in the history of the CFL, and you'd argue with me.
Well, you'd have to prove it to me. You'd have to be able to back up your words. I can back up my words.
He's never, ever put a team together that won a Grey Cup.
Who?
Chris Jones.
What do you mean?
Just what I mean.
He won a Grey Cup in Edmonton. He was there for 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. He didn't inherit that team. He inherited a dumpster fire.
Yeah, but he wasn't the general manager. Ed Hervey was the general manager.
But I'm talking about coaches right now, not general managers.
Well, I said put a team together. Who puts a team together? General managers, okay, not coaches.
So then he went over to Saskatchewan as the general manager and took a
3-15
team and turned around and went 13-5.
Did not win a Grey Cup.
No, he left before they did. I think Saskatchewan would have won the Grey Cup in 2019. Winnipeg wouldn't have.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, he moved on. Good for him.
Well, yeah. Fuck. Okay. Whatever. I think he's a horrible coach and manager, to be honest with you. The only time he's ever won a Grey Cup was when he's best as a defensive coordinator. Always has been, always will be.
We'll see this year. This year is going to be a defining moment in his career.
Okay. I guess we will
see. It is. We will see. Okay. So the last thing we have on our agenda today, so we're going to have to either go to bed early or talk about a bunch of other things.
We're done with the agenda already?
No, we have one more item.
Oh, do we? What is it?
Stampeders owner, CSEC, hires new leadership as John Bean steps down as president. I have nothing to say on this entire situation, so it's going to be up to you. So the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation has named Robert Hayes as its new president and CEO, and Lorenzo DeCicco as its new COO, Chief Operating Officer. John Bean has served as the president and CEO for 15 years and formed the organization as his decision to step down last year and was involved in the process of filling his role in creating the new COO position.
Right. So
I don't know what else we can say about this.
Well, no, my question is, okay, they always let, when John Huffnagel was running things.
Yes.
Calgary CSE, CSE, whatever the fuck it's called, Calgary Sports.
CSEC.
Always let John Huffnagel run the football operation.
Correct.
But John Huffnagel has stepped down as president. He's no longer the president. Brett McNeil, former San Diego offensive lineman, Jay McNeil, is the president now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and are they going to give him as much free reign as they gave John Huffnagel with the new leadership group? See, whenever these guys start changing leaders, it changes everything, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what's going to happen. So things are going to change. Maybe this guy will manage to somehow, some way, get a stadium out of whomever. You know what I mean?
I do. I was going to say that. Not that
they, not that they need a stadium. So.
Well, they need a stadium.
Not really.
They have to play somewhere. They currently have a stadium.
Yeah. They currently have a
stadium. Do they need a new one? That's the question.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
So do you know any of these guys? Do you know Robert Hayes? Do you know John Bean?
Don't know any of them.
So the new guy, he spent 35 years in banking and worked across Canada and the United States before spending the past two decades in Calgary, native of Halifax, served as the managing director with Royal Bank of Canada and is active in the community, serving on the boards of the Calgary Film Center, Calgary Prostate Cancer Center, and Woods Home Society.
Right.
So he now takes over control of the Calgary Stampeders, the Calgary Flames, the Calgary Wranglers of the AHL, the Calgary Hitmen of the Western Hockey League, the Calgary Roughnecks of the National Lacrosse League, and manages the Saddle Dome.
Right.
Doesn't say anything about McMahon Stadium.
No. So maybe they'll leave it as it is. And, you know, we shall see. So I read that article. I was like, okay, who cares?
Yeah, doesn't make a bone bit of difference. It might be under circumstances and whatever else if this new guy meddles with the team and doesn't leave.
Behind closed doors, it might make a difference. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
publicly, it shouldn't.
Nope.
Okay, so that's the end of our agenda.
Okay.
What would you guys like to talk about? Dutch, Darren.
Darren, yes. Let's talk about
passed
him.
Away. It's very sad.
Yes,
he was a great guy. Great commentator on TSN.
Yep. I think he was the last great commentator on TSN.
Highly possible. Yeah.
Could die of prostate cancer.
I'm sorry, what was it? Prostate?
I didn't know you could die from prostate cancer. Yes, sir.
Of course you can.
Well,
I think it's the number one killer of men, of cancer for men.
Too many people dying from it. I know lots of men get it.
Yeah, no, you die from it.
It's usually caught at the right time.
Yeah, if you're doing regular checkups and everything else, then you're usually quite good about it. But if you don't, then you're not. So it's not a good thing.
So, and yeah, 58 years old is too young to die, or 56, whatever he was.
Yeah. Well, he was born in 66, so he's 4 years younger than us.
Yeah.
So that would have been 58.
Yep. 58, there you go.
We had a fight break out in the Saskatchewan training camp. This in itself is not unusual because most training camps will get into a fight. But this one guy took on the entire offensive line.
Okay.
Coach Corey Mace steps in and instructs all the players to the sidelines to do cardio. He penalized. It's like high school again, right? You got to do wind sprints if you fuck around in a practice.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but and it's got to be really brutal to be 300 plus pounds and do wind sprints. Okay,
with pads on. Yeah, you think so? So yeah, he ended up making the entire team do cardio, saying that penalties will kill us. So
could you imagine Hardrick doing wind sprints?
That's funny as hell.
All
okay,
that.
But I mean, good on him. He is demanding a higher level of
discipline,
responsibility from riders.
Yep.
So. He's still going to make dumbass rookie mistakes during the season, but I think that he is going to be a good coach overall if they let him do the job long enough.
I would agree, but you never know.
I mean, just because the team doesn't do something amazing this year, don't fire him. Okay, don't listen to the morons.
Well, they still have room to fire what's-his-name if he doesn't do well, right? Who's the Jeremy O'Day? They could fire him. He could be a sacrificial scapegoat if they don't do well, because I don't know why he still has a job.
It's one of life's mysteries.
Yep. So.
Even more so. Is why Craig Reynolds is still in control.
Yeah, well.
You want to talk about somebody who's guilty of gender-based violence.
These are all mysteries, Christopher, that we'll never figure out.
Boggles the mind. It truly does. Okay. Cut down tracker. No, we're not going to do that. There was an article up that says who's the best wide receiver in the room. We're talking about the BC Lions. How many 1,000-yard receivers will they have this year? Interesting question.
Not as many last year.
Probably not.
Last year.
I mean, their number one receiver, which is Keon Hatcher, is out with an Achilles, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's going to miss a good part, at least a third of the beginning of the season here.
He is.
Okay, so we were talking earlier about Jim Barker and acts of stupidity that he says and does dumb, weird shit. But did you know that the Toronto Argonauts just hired him for a position in head office?
Yep.
So he's now...
Again.
A member of the Argos management.
Uh-huh. What does that tell you?
Well,
you
that his comment was biased.
You know what it tells you? And I said this last week, and you guys didn't like that I said this.
Go ahead.
Pinball is not a very smart man.
Well, I didn't argue with you.
And I don't think he understands this whole gender bullshit thing, okay? I don't think he understands it.
Well, I got into a bitch session today on one of the groups, and it was how everybody was saying that they're so pleased with the way that pinball is handling all of this. And I just said, are you shitting me? He came out publicly and said that he had no idea that this entire thing happened until it became public and he heard about it in the media. So that means that as the general manager, your staff isn't keeping you informed of what is happening. You're incompetent, 100% incompetent, and you should be fired.
He's just a figurehead. He didn't want to be in charge of that team.
And then he says, as general manager, I am going to take full responsibility for this happening. Mm-hmm. But what has he done? Has he fired John Murphy? No. Has he suspended Chad Kelly? No. He says that they're still committed to their number one quarterback. He needs to fall on his sword. He needs to be removed from this position. He is incompetent.
I got a great idea. Are you ready?
I'm listening. Yeah.
Let's fire Randy Ambrosi and hire Michael Pinball Clemens.
Oh, God. No.
One of the things that we have to think about is, you know how stupid the CFL looks right now?
Yes, I do.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It looks like a banana organization, and it's just pathetic. It really is. And I hate to see it look like this.
Well, I really believe that there needs to be some way for us to contact the owners of the teams. And I've been looking, and there's no real viable way. We used to be able to talk to Gary Stern all the time. I used to have wonderful conversations with him on Twitter. And I used to have good conversations with Bob Young. But Bob Young isn't responding to anything anymore. And Gary Stern doesn't own the Montreal Alouettes. But I can't find a way to talk to Amar Doman or anybody else. I want to know why these guys still have this moron for a commissioner. I mean, nobody should be happy with what he's done.
It makes no sense. Hey, did you fall asleep, Ricky, or are you talking? There you go.
No, you said maybe nobody else wants the job.
I don't know. Else here that happened. Oh, yes, the CFL has now said that these Guardian caps, these SpongeBob helmet covers, their players are allowed to play with them in the game if they want, but they're making mouth guards mandatory.
I always thought mouth guards were mandatory.
Obviously it's not. My question to you, what is a mouth guard? Is that something that goes in your mouth and just around your teeth, kind of like what they play with all the time during plays? Or is this something that goes in front of your mouth to protect it?
No, a mouth guard is exactly what you just said.
Okay.
They were made mandatory in amateur football in 1975.
See, when I played lacrosse, a mouth guard was actually a piece of equipment that went on the outside of your mouth to cover your teeth so that if you got the ball in the teeth, this was like a little helmet that went on your mouth. But that obviously is not what we're talking about here. Because they get away.
Mouth guards in football are to prevent concussions.
Okay.
Not to protect your teeth.
Interesting. How does it protect you, stop you from getting a concussion?
It's a shock absorber in your jaw.
Okay.
That's the point behind it. They do more to prevent concussions than helmets do. Helmets are designed to prevent skull fractures, not concussions.
I know. It just jams your neck more than anything. It's why rugby players don't wear them.
Don't wear what?
Helmets. Some do, not all.
Hey, there's a question, Rick. Do rugby players wear mouth guards?
Yes.
Wear mouth guards? Oh, okay.
Mandatory.
Okay.
And some of them wear scrum hats. Nobody wears helmets.
No.
They wear something that goes around to protect their ears from being ripped off.
Exactly, scrum hats.
Yeah. I remember playing a Kiwi team, a team from New Zealand, and one son of a bitch tried to bite my ear off. Most uncomfortable.
Ears are fair game.
Yeah. So Cameron Dukes is going to be the starting quarterback for the Toronto Argonauts this year. Where do you see them in the power rankings now? Did they drop because Chad Kelly is not going to be playing and Cameron Dukes is? Because I originally had them up in the number 3 or 4 position. Do you keep them up in the 3 or 4 position, or do you drop them down to the 5-6 spot?
You know what? The games that Cameron Dukes played last year, he was quite effective. And in the East, you can't rank anybody because they all suck. And Toronto could be in first place, man. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay, so we're not going to do anything with Toronto. They're kind of sitting there. Because I did that argument today. Who was it? Armchase. Jared asked me. No, or was it Todd? I think it was Jared asked me what I took on the power rankings and where they were. And did Toronto drop? And I said, yeah, Toronto dropped. They had to.
Yeah. Probably.
We shall see.
We shall see, because there's really not much else to do. I'm going way back. I'm over a week now back in Let's Talk CFL. We've got nothing else to talk about. I'm pretty much finished on this one. Gentlemen, do you want to call it a day?
We can.
Works for Ricky.
Something you wish to discuss? Yeah?
I wish to discuss the inside of my eyelids. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to call it a day then. So this has been Let's Talk CFL podcast episode number 573. I was your host, Christopher Jones. We had Will McDonald and Rick McDonald, MacDonald, just in case I didn't pronounce the word properly. And I'll let them say goodnight, and we'll see you guys next Wednesday-ish. And we will have already watched a football game then, because there is a Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Who are they playing? Saskatchewan, is it? In preseason on Monday night.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah, there's a Monday night football game. And the exciting thing happening this weekend that most people don't know about, and I haven't discussed at all with you guys, is that it is opening weekend at Merritt Speedway. And I will be out there with my little Grinch car, my little race car, and we will be pounding the dirt and going around and around and around, turn left, turn left, turn left. And opening weekend, both Saturday and Sunday at Merritt Speedway.
So I have a very important question to ask you. I have an important question to ask you.
Okay.
When you go left like that continuously.
Yes.
Do you signal that you're going left?
No.
Okay.
No, I do not have to.
I knew the answer, but I just want to double check, okay?
I don't have lights on my car. You're not allowed to have glass. But one of the things I do have, though, I have an Aruga horn. It goes, Aruga, Aruga. Yeah, because just so when people piss me off, I kind of do that. No, I kind of do it for the audience and the little kids because they like the Grinch car. And it's so cute and so little.
Yeah.
I'll have to show you a picture of it beside a real car one day. You just go, holy shit, is it small? It's like a go-kart. But it's fast. Okay, so that's it, guys. You have a good one, and we'll see you next week. I talk to you next week. Rick, say goodnight to the people.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening, and let's watch some football.
Yeah. And Willie.
Good night, everybody. We actually get to watch some football next week.
That's awesome. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get to talk about football. Like, we get to talk about what happened in a football game. So I wonder, is Sparky going to do his little thing again this year where we pick our teams and go from there? Hopefully.
He probably will. I would assume he's going to do that. So
yeah, we haven't talked to him about it, but I can't see why he wouldn't want to. Okay, guys, have a good one. Take care. Good night.
Talk to you later. Good night.
Bye. Bye.